Are we ready for a good sermon this morning?
Amen.
Well, maybe the church on the road might have a good sermon for us. No. Okay. God is good, isn't it? And we just give you praise, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for our time together. Lord, we're two or three gathered in your name. You are present with us. So we give you praise and glory for that, Father. And we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these moments of praise and to have fellowship time. And to give you glory and honor, Lord, and what a privilege it is to bring your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your word will just minister to us today in a very special way. Each heart, Lord, I pray would be touched by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you might use me in this message to bring you glory and honor. And, Lord, it is an honor to bring your word. It is an honor to read your word and to pray, Lord. And we just thank you. We just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. One day in the Garden of Eden, Adam was feeling very insecure with his relationship with Eve. So he approached Eve and he said to her, Eve, do you really and truly love me? And Eve replied, who else? Takes a while. Who else? You know, as the lyrics of an old song goes, that you have to, you're in that lonesome valley, and you have to walk it by yourself in that lonely, lonesome valley. And walking is a very interesting thing because walking takes on different forms. We have different kinds of walks. Sometimes people walk their dog. That's one kind of a walk. We just walk together for some fellowship time. That happens too. People just want to get together and kind of walk and get some exercise in and also kind of share with one another. I do power walks. I do prayer walks where I do my praying. A lot of my praying in the morning is during my walking time. So we see various kinds of walks. In the Bible, also, we find different kinds of walks. God walked in the garden. Abraham walked with his son Isaac. Moses and the Israelites walked in the desert for what? 40 years. That was a long, long walk. And Joshua and his group walked around Jericho how many days? 7 days. That was a long walk. It's amazing. And then you look in the New Testament and the disciples walk to Emmaus. And how about Paul's walk to Damascus? It's amazing. Now, we're going to be talking about Peter's walk on the water. And it's very significant to us. Very significant for us to see that his walk in the water, how important that is in our lives, because it had to do with stepping out in faith. His walk had to do with stepping out in faith. Stepping out of faith means to experience the power and the presence of the Holy God, our God. That's stepping out in faith and what it means. And there's one characteristic of God is this, that he asks people to do something at times that is a little bit scary, that we really don't want to do. And we see that in the Bible, don't we? Look when God called Moses, I want you to lead the people, into the promised land. And what is Moses' initial response? No, God, I can't. I have difficult speaking. I'm slow of speech. Basically, God said, we'll take care of that. And he did. How about Isaiah? God called Isaiah to a very, very, very profound prophecy. To prophesy against Judah and their sins. Also to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And how did Joshua respond to his scary calling? He said, woe is me. Unclean lips. And then the angel touched the coal on his lips. And that changed everything for him. How about Jonah? You know, Jonah is very interesting because I think Jonah really speaks to us. And sometimes in our reluctance to follow God. God says, I want you to go to where? Nineveh. He said, I want you to go there. I want you to preach to them. No way am I going to go there. I hate them. I don't want them to repent. So he went just the opposite direction. As far, amazing, isn't it? He tried to run away from God. Isn't that interesting? How do you run away from God? How does that work in your world? But he tried. But then, of course, we know how that turned out. All of us have our stories to tell. You know, when the times, those scary times when God has called us, you know, he called me, and I don't want to go into my story. You've heard it a million times. Oh, no, not the same old stories again. But going back to school and going full-time with three kids and a mortgage, that was scary for me. That was a scary time for me in my life. And my faith in God was strong as it was just so strong and rich at that time. But I had wobbly knees at that point. How are we going to do this, God? How is it going to work out? But you know, the amazing thing about it, that story, as you know, is after I was all done with my education, schooling, when my first calling, my first job, we had zero debt. Now, listen to this. This is not a brag thing. It wasn't because we had this great plan figured out and we were so bright and it just all kind of worked out. It was all God. We can't figure it out. To this day, we say, how did it work? I don't know. But God made it happen. See, my story is like your story as it relates to our struggles with fear, faith, and doubt. Now, let's turn to Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And the next few, I think there's so many nuggets in this story of Jesus' walks on the water. And there's so many nuggets that we can pull out of the story, and we're going to try to pull those nuggets out in the next few Sundays. Maybe it could be two, maybe it could be three Sundays, I don't know. It depends on how God leads us. But it's a great, great story. In fact, it's one of Jan's favorites. That's not why I'm doing this, but I know that she likes the story of Jesus walking on the water. Okay, with me, chapter 14, verses 22 and 20 and through 32. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get out into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Verse 28. "Lord," listen to this, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they jumped into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with five, he multiplied five loaves and two fish. And they were in awe. But then he told the disciples, he said, now get in the boat and cross this water. Go. And they did. And now there are five lessons we can learn from these scripture passages. And the first one is that the importance of daily prayer. We're going to be looking at verse 23 here. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Why? You know, we know that Jesus, what, fully God, fully man. Stop and think about this. Jesus' ministry at this particular time, all the miracles they had witnessed, all of the healings that they had witnessed, not to mention Jesus was probably struggling with the loss of John the Baptist. So these things are going through Jesus. So he had to get away. He had to get away from the crowds. He had to get away from all the chaos going on around him to be by himself with his God. Seeking one-on-one time with God was very, very important to Jesus, as it should be to us as well. Amen? Last week I got a call from my sons-in-law, and he just had come from a recent retreat, the weekend, a church retreat, and he had a lot of questions. And so he was talking to me. He said, we talked about this, we talked about that, about the faith. He said, I have so many areas in my faith, so many gaps, that I don't really know to go with them. You know, I thought, well, you need to get into a small group or find your people, and you can kind of kick some of these concepts of the faith around. Maybe we can answer some of your questions. And so we talked more and more. And they said, yeah, I thought about that. He said, then I was thinking, well, I could maybe get into a group or whatever at church. But then I figured, who could mentor me? Then I realized that I got a pastor as my father-in-law. He said, would you be willing to mentor me? Would you be willing to spend some time with me? And we can just talk about the faith. We can read scripture, we can talk, we can share. You can maybe fill in some of the gaps. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. We're still praying about a time to get together to do that. But then he wanted to know, we talked about prayer, and I asked him about his prayer time. Well, I pray is kind of hit or miss, you know, being busy and all. I said, John, you know, that's one thing we have to talk about, is you need to find your prayer time. You need to find those moments when you can spend with your God. Because, see, prayer prepares us for the day's challenges. Amen? Now, the disciples crossing that lake was not a big deal for them. I mean, most of them were experienced fishermen. But here, Jesus lets them know that he is the God over chaos, the God over all things. And so when trouble would come and would come for the disciples in that boat, and fear entered that boat, and they were just absolutely petrified. If you read 24, verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You know, again, struggling the boat, and they felt like it was going down, and panic just kind of, can you imagine, just kind of hit them. If you're in a boat, now this wasn't a cruise ship, you know, this was a little fishing boat, and they say that when those winds kick up in the Sea of Galilee, it kicks up, and it's violent, and it becomes violent very, very rapidly. So they're in this boat, and it's being tossed all over the place. They are just absolutely probably beside themselves, as we would be. You know? Now, they probably didn't have life preservers. I mean, if we're in a boat now, what do we do? With, you know, if you're going up on a, it's a law that you have to have some kind of life preservers. They didn't probably didn't have that. And so this leads us to our second lesson I get out of this, and that is obedience did not always spare us from adversity. 25 and 26, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were what? They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. The wind and the raging waves did not prevent Jesus from taking a stroll on the water in the early morning hours. In their desperate and frightened state, they learned a very important lesson: that obedience does not necessarily guarantee being spared of adversity. Did you hear that? That's very important, because some people, they play, "Let's make a deal with God. Tell you what, God, I'll follow you if you make my paths, pretty much my life, pretty easy." It's easy to follow God when things are going great, amen? It is. It's easy, and we should praise God when things are going good. But what about when things get a little bit dicey? Where are we? You know, that's me too. So sometimes we can say, "You know, God, you've done so many wonderful things." Well, look at the disciples in the boat. They have been eyewitnesses to all of these miracles. Fresh off feeding, you know, Jesus multiplied the loaves to feed the 5,000. They had it all. They experienced it all. But suddenly they had, you know, memory problems. The boat's been tossed all over the place, you know, and they are not in a good place emotionally, spiritually. How quickly do we all forget? You know, there was a, I think I shared this story, maybe part of the story, of many years ago when we came to the Lord out of adversity. There was a woman in Jan's Bible study from Geneva, and she was extremely wealthy. She did not want to hear about coming to God out of adversity. She did not want to hear that. She refused to say, "If that's the way God works, I don't want." She was afraid of Jan. Believe it or not, who could be afraid of Jan? She was afraid not of her physically, she was afraid of her faith. Afraid of her faith. Listen, to know what to believe is not enough. To know what to believe will not necessarily please God. Are you with me? Truth must be tested. God's truth must and will be tested. Did not Jesus say, "In this world you have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world"? Your faith will be tested. I don't mind what you make, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but it will be tested. In some way, you will be tested for your faith. But you see, it's in the adversity. Adversity can bring a spiritual vitality to life. It can. We experienced that last Sunday. Let's just kind of revisit and go back to last Sunday. I get a call from Chris. Thanks, Chris. And we had problems with our heating system. It was down. And last Sunday was very, very cold. So what do? You know, we talked a little bit, and I don't want to get into the whole story, but they had smelled gas. You know, it's not only cold, it's not working, then you have the smell of gas. What's going on there? So we're driving to church. I was late. I said, "Be there in half an hour." I was not here in half an hour, so forgive me for that. And so we're driving, and so we're brainstorming. Adversity. What do? Where do we go? Where do we cancel the service for that day? Just what is what? And we prayed and prayed and prayed, as you probably prayed. God, what do we do? Where do we go? What are our options? So we come to church, you know, and we're all trying to figure this out together. I think in our own little ways, we wound up, we looked at different rooms, what have you. We found the room. You think, wow, yay, praise God. And then, I don't know, somebody come up to me and says, we have guests. And I'm thinking, really? To myself, I didn't say really that to you. Really? God, of all days, to have guests, not only two, but four. Adversity. So we're in this little room. God, I think, drew us to this little room, and we had church. How was it? God took that moment, those adverse moments, and he used it for his glory. I think not only that, God was so in this. We've been talking about trying to find a different space, since we are a small group, to make it more intimate. That has always been on my heart, and so forth. So after the service was over, Chris came up to me, and we talked. And Chris and Sue have been talking about what we might do, some different things, different plans, whatever. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, about space, and thought about the foyer. That was later on Chris and Sue's heart. Well, anyway, so Chris talked to Mike. And they weren't talking about this. But then they started discussing what's going on, and Mike had the same feelings. So Chris is sharing this with me, and I thought, my spirit was so moved within me, I didn't have to think about it, because that was, to me, that was confirmation. God was speaking to us. He's speaking to us through adversity. He's speaking to us through people, his people. And so then what do? Their next step is, then we got to step out in faith. We got to step out. We have to get out of that boat, and we have to move as God is moving us, and rejoice that it's coming from him. Praise God. And you think, well, I don't know, maybe he's exaggerating the story, but let me tell you. Now, maybe Sue and Chris, I don't believe you up there doing the worship. Johnny was there. The countenance on the people was different. When I was up there preaching last Sunday, your countenance was different. It was more, not that you're not crabby, I'm not saying that. I got to watch what I say here. But it seemed like you were more, there was a spiritual vibration going on in that service last week that was very contagious, and it felt good. It felt good. Even when we were done, it felt good, the conversation. You know, I'm just kind of going on and on and on here, but that is so adversity. But God uses all things. That's a good thing, because God has shown us, he's shown you, maybe for some of you a little bit reluctant of leaving the larger space, God is saying, see how it works? This is a good thing. We need to do that. You need to do that. So we have to come up with a plan on how to do that. We can't say, oh yeah, it was a wonderful experience. That was last week. Now let's just kind of move on. Business as usual. No. No. We got to get out of the boat. We have to do something about this, because we know this is God's will. If it's his will, then he'll make a way. He'll make a way. That's the beauty of it. Talking with Dewey. You know, I don't have all the answers here. You don't either. But we know that God can collectively use us in different situations, in this case, to come up with a plan that he wants for his glory. Amen? So Jesus, you know, I think he just wanted the disciples to know that who was in charge of the chaos that was going on. This leads us to number three, and this is the one I want us to really, really look at and grab a hold of, and that is divine presence revealed, verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. This is huge. This is huge for us. Jesus was saying to them, in the midst of what they were going through, be cool. Relax. You can trust that it is me. I'm with you. How about us? When we are going through in the middle of our storms, maybe it's a health issue. Jesus is saying to us, to you, it's me. I'm here. I'm here. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm real, not a ghost. If you're going through, financial problems, and you're dealing with issues, Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, it's me. I'm real. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm real. It's me, not a ghost. In a shaky relationship, if you're going through issues with family or friends or whatever it is, Jesus says to you, it's me. I'm with you. I'm here right now. Take courage. Relax. I'm not a ghost. So many people are afraid of the future or even the present. What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? And Jesus is saying the same thing. It's me. I'm here. Take courage. I'm real. Not a ghost. If we are not looking to Jesus in our adverse moments, we might truly miss him. Catch that. We might miss him. I've seen too many people through the years, when the going gets tough, when things aren't going well, or something dramatic happens in their lives, they walk away from God. They walk away from God. That's when you need him. That's when you need him. I'm sure you can share your story. You know, when we came to God, some people thought, well, they're using God as a crutch. You bet. Because I can't handle this. We can't. We're turning to our God. We're trusting that he's near. He's there. Take courage. That's what he's telling us today. Amen? Number four, discerning obedience. Verse 28. I love this. Lord, if. The little conjunction word. I guess that is a conjunction, isn't it, Sue? Sue's the. I think it's a conjunction, yeah. That's a very key word. Listen to it. If it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. This was not a knee-jerk reaction by Peter. Before he put one foot on the water, he had to discern if it was really Jesus. In our decision-making process, we also need to discern, Jesus, are you really in this? Is that you? Is this true? And listen, this is where a lot of Christians fall into big trouble, where their faith can be shattered because of misunderstanding or getting their own desires in the way of God, and it's for some, it has destroyed their faith. Destroyed their faith. Somebody says, whoa, God called me. You know, I had a dream last night, and I just really feel so strongly that God wants me to be a brain surgeon. Really? Oh, yes, I know. I know he's called me. I'm to be a brain surgeon. Well, that's great. Praise God. Well, did you enjoy math in school? Oh, gee, I barely got through practical math. I couldn't do an algebra equation if you put a gun to my head. And science, I hate science. I didn't get through basic chemistry. Well, guess what? I don't think God's calling you to be a brain surgeon. God's calling me to be a teacher, but I hate kids. I can't stand them. Do you think God's really calling that person to be a brain surgeon? See, my point is that God does not want us to operate out of a foolish impulse. This story of Peter is not about extreme sports. It's not about bungee jumping or what, the hand sailing, whatever they do. It's not about, you know, going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. You know, it's not about parachute jumping or cliff diving or climb the side of a 100-story skyscraper using these suction cups. Boom, boom. See that? Years ago, a guy was up there. Boom. Are you kidding me? And with no parachute. See, having the courage is not enough. Saying, I want to follow Jesus, but, you know, I think he wants me to do this. But I'm going to have courage. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to do this. That is not enough. Acting out of obedience requires prayer. It requires Holy Spirit conviction. It requires wisdom, confirmation, sometimes time. Now, there are times, now it can be a combination of all of those or a combination of just one or two. It depends on the situation. But remember, before Peter got out of the boat, he wanted to make sure that that it was Jesus. If it is you, if it is you. You know, Peter wasn't dumb. Was Peter impulsive? Yes, from time to time. But he was not dumb. There's no way he was going to get out of that boat unless he knew it was Jesus. Jesus. That leads us to number five. It's amazing how time flies when we're all so engaged and having so much fun. Amen? Amen. Okay. If we want to walk, if we want to walk with Christ, we have to get out of the boat. We do. We have to get out of the boat. You know, I made a lot of mistakes since I've been a born-again Christian, and that's a good thing, too, because you'll learn from your mistakes. You'll learn certain things, and God gives you wisdom, and the key is not to, you know, try to repeat that mistake. Sometimes we do. And I think for Pentecostals, we have to be very cautious. For people that of the leading of the Spirit, we have to make sure that we are in God's will, and that's what he wants for us to do. It was last week, Jan was on the phone and talking to one of her friends. She attends a Bible study, a group at Calvary Church on Tuesdays. And Donna is going through some real hard times. They're retired missionaries. Her husband is dealing with severe dementia. And so she's had a struggle with how to be his caregiver when people are telling her, put him in a home, do this or do that. She's hanging on, wants to care for her husband. And so she's been praying about this and struggling for a long period of time. Then the real unfortunate happened. Praise God, it didn't happen. It happened, remember the last cold snap, not this one, but the one before? Then we had a lull. Well, it was during this lull that her husband left the house, walked out of the house in his pajamas. And he was discovered by a neighbor. If it would have been last Sunday, he would have died probably from the extreme cold. So I'm listening to the one-sided conversation. I'm listening to Jan, and Jan responding to Donna about this, and Donna evidently was trying to make up her mind, yes, I do have to put my husband someplace safe. And as I'm walking through the house, God gave me a scripture for Donna. I'd never met her before. I gave it to Jan. I said, Jan, she's on the phone. I said, this one's for Donna. And it had to do with her situation there. And I had a choice, right? I could have said, nah, this isn't from God. That's Jan's conversation with her friend. I'll just let it go. Maybe share it with Jan later. No, God said, share it now. It's for her. It's for her. And so we did, and God blessed Donna because gave her the confirmation that she absolutely was starving for, that she needed. You see, so God works in different ways, doesn't he? He does. But you need to know. We need to go through these processes. I call it the red lights and the green lights. You probably heard that one, right? We've heard that many times. But I'm going to add a light. I'm going to add the yellow light to the red lights and the green lights. We have options in life. Everything that we do, our situations in life, decisions you have to make, we have options. But God always wants to be in the middle of our options. Sometimes the light is red. I'm not going to be a brain surgeon. Lord, I'm going to be a brain surgeon at my age. Yeah, you think so? Let's see, got 8 years of medical school. I don't think that's going to work for you. So that would be the red light. You know, God is saying, no, that's not where I want you to go. It doesn't line up with my will. So we stop. We don't move. And we trust that in that process of waiting, that God has something better. That's where faith comes in, stepping out in faith. Okay, God, I really wanted this. I thought this is what you wanted me. But no, this is not your will for me. So, I'll just wait and trust that you have something better. You have the yellow light. The yellow light is where oftentimes we all are. We're waiting. Waiting for God to answer that prayer. Waiting to see what the next move that God wants us to take. So we're waiting. We're waiting. We're cautious. We're cautious. We're not jumping ahead. We're just waiting on the next confirmation from God. It could be through a friend. It could be through the Word. It could be a Holy Spirit nudging. Discernment or whatever. We're just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you got the green light. When you know what you know what you know. That's when you step out in faith. That's when you do it. You say, I know this is what God wants. I know this is His will. He's shown it to me time and again. I've got the confirmation. I know, I know. Then we have to do it. We have to do it. That's when blessings come. And when we do that, and I'm not, I know for many of you here, this is not new news to you. But we do know that when we're seeking to follow God's will, then the next time, then we become familiar with God even more. Does that make any sense to you? You kind of know that. You kind of know when it is of God and when it isn't. That takes sometimes time and experience just to go through these things in life. But if you're not sure, then don't pull the trigger. If anything, if you're not sure of God's will, do not pull the trigger until you know for sure what God wants you to do. And you will know. You know what you know what you know. You will know. And through all of this, what do? We remember. Jesus says, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, I want you to know that I'm here. And I want you to take courage. And I don't want you to be afraid. Don't be afraid even to fail. If you think something is from God and it doesn't work out, don't be afraid to fail. God knows your heart. He knows your heart. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I thought for sure God is leading and it didn't work out. That's okay. He says, in all of this, I'm real. I'm not a ghost. If it is you. If I had to retitle this message, I'd put, if it is you. If it is you, if it is you, then I'll go. You're there. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's where we need to be spiritually. I'm going to stop with the story because there's more to it. And we all know that, you know, we can get into Peter. He's out of the boat. He's walking to Jesus. And all of a sudden, you know, the wheels fall off for him at that moment. That's for another time. But it's just getting to that point where you can say, like Peter, if it is you. Sometimes I think Peter gets a bad rap. You know, oh, look at this. He just, without thinking, he's jumping. Well, yeah, you probably argue that up to a certain point. But here, gee, that wasn't Peter. He was not impulsive. If it is you. And then once Jesus said, yes, come, that guy couldn't wait to get out of the boat. Whoa, that is awesome. That's our God. I want to leave you with this thought, and that is, whatever you are going through right now in your life, whatever it is, turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, if it is you, if you're directing me, if you're telling me something or trying to get my attention, help me to see it. Pray about it. Talk to a Christian friend. You know? Christian friends are great to run things by, right? Ask a Christian friend to pray with you, pray for you. Nothing beats Jesus. Nothing beats Jesus. Oh, I so encourage you to remember that. Remember Jesus. Don't put him on the shelf. Get out of the boat. Step out. You will be blessed beyond measure. Lord, we praise you and thank you. I thank you, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray if there's some hesitation in their lives, Lord. If there's some hesitation, there's some doubt, whatever it might be. Lord, that you will just speak to them, that you will reveal yourself to them, Lord. And Lord, that they will hear your voice. They will hear you speaking through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through confirmation, through wisdom and discernment. And Lord, I pray that when they receive their answer, Lord, that they will, like Peter, step out of the boat and start walking toward you. Because your word tells us that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.